This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let's bring in Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist for the Monday Morning Quarterback. Does the NFL do this? Name awards after former players?
Well, they did the Walter Payton Award. I mean, that was, I think, previously just the Man of the Year, if I remember right. And then I believe when Walter Payton passed that they named it after him, I think. So,
but what about like the MVP? If I said regular season MVP in the NFL, who would you name the award after?
I mean, I guess like on the Jordan premise, it would be Tom Brady, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I heard what you said there on Jordan versus Kareem, and you know, Kareem won more MVPs. But I mean, I grew up in the '90s, and I remember it was like he could have won it every year, and it was almost like I remember like Charles Barkley won in '93. No one thought Charles Barkley was a better player that year than Michael Jordan. No disrespect to Charles Barkley. I think Karl Malone won it like '97 or '98, right?
Yep.
So, I think like it's about the greatest player, and the greatest player is Tom Brady. So I think you'd probably name it the Tom Brady MVP award, right?
No, I would do Peyton Manning, and then I would have the Super Bowl MVP, Tom Brady.
That makes some sense. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Peyton would take that as a slap in the face? You know what I mean?
I would hope that he would understand that, hey, I was a great regular season quarterback and I have more MVPs than Tom. But facts are facts here, Albert. Yeah. Tom's your MVP when it came to the biggest game, you know, of the year.
No question. Yeah. That'd be interesting though, because like, did they name the rookie of the year after someone in basketball? Is there a name for that one?
Wilt Chamberlain.
Okay. Because like, you go through those different ones. Like, would it be like the Randy Moss rookie of the year? Because you remember Randy was such a comet as a rookie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like. It'd be interesting to go through them. Like Lawrence Taylor, Defensive Player of the Year, I think is easy, right? Like,
yep.
I think it'll probably be LT.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's some interesting arguments there. Jerry Rice, Offensive Player of the Year.
Could do that. I always hated when they did Offensive Player of the Year and then they did MVP.
Right, because it's like, how is the MVP? The MVP is always an offensive player, so how is the MVP not the Offensive Player of the Year? When I vote on those things, I always try to make it as like best individual performer. And I feel like it's almost become the best non-quarterback award, right? Quarterback was the MVP. So it's almost always like this year, I think most people probably vote for Justin Jefferson for Offensive Player of the Year.
Is the MVP award Jalen Hurts to lose?
It's a great question. I did a poll on this the midseason point, so after 9 weeks, and I can't remember how many executives, but it was, I don't know, 50 or something like that. And the answer was overwhelmingly Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And I think like, it's interesting the way we do these things, because sometimes it's just like, well, and it's like, I think Mahomes has almost entered into that Brady Jordan category where it's like, he could probably win it every year. And like, if you look at like what Mahomes has accomplished without Tyreek Hill, you know, like Tyreek Hill leaves there and they bring in, you know, Valdez-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster and all these new guys, Sky Moore, the rookie, and like they haven't really missed a beat. And they've carried a defense that's had its issues. Like the defense had serious problems in Denver last weekend. You know what I mean? Like, and so I think what Jalen Hurts has done is phenomenal. And sometimes like we almost treat the MVP award as the breakthrough performer. You know what I mean? Like it's the guy who is on a really great team who took a huge step. And Jalen Hurts fits that. Like Jalen Hurts fits like what Mahomes was in 2018, right? Where he's like sort of the breakthrough guy for a really great team. But I mean, if we're talking about value to a franchise, I think it's really, really hard to beat Mahomes, especially this year when they lost so much, when they lost such an important piece around him and changed out so many people around him.
You got some awkward quarterback situations coming up. Mm-hmm. Short term, long term. Seattle, you're going to stay with what you have. You got a high draft pick here. You know, the Lions with Jared Goff.
Yep.
If he makes the playoffs there, what the Ravens have. Short-term, long-term. The Rams, what they have. Baker Mayfield. The Packers, what they have. Like, if you were going to do, like, prioritize the most awkward quarterback situation, where would you start?
The Raiders are interesting because they haven't had the success that they envisioned, I think. I think the guys who went in there, Josh McDaniels, Dave Ziegler, thought they were closer than maybe they were. And you don't do things like trading for Devontae Adams and signing Chandler Jones if you don't think you're close. And the reason I bring them up first is because they're the first one that's going to have to make a decision, because there's a thing and there's an element of Derek Carr's contract where $40 million vests is fully guaranteed. I think it's 3 days after the Super Bowl. So they're going to have to make a decision on Derek Carr in the middle of February at a time when two quarterbacks who played for Josh are probably going to be available in Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo. Both those guys obviously have open road to free agency. So that's one that's really interesting. And I think we'll get an answer on that one before we get an answer on the others.
Okay.
As far as which one's most awkward, I mean, I guess Green Bay, just because, you know, like you're at that point with Jordan Love where you're going to have to make a decision on his fifth year option. That's coming in May. You've got this, you know, just massive contract that gives Aaron Rodgers a ton of control over the situation. That one I think is at least interesting. And if Aaron lets his decision, like allows for his decision to bleed into March, you know, then that has potential to really kind of, you know, kind of handcuff the Packers as far as their planning, you know? And so that one's a little awkward. I don't think Seattle's that awkward. I mean, I think Seattle, they try to sign Geno Smith. And, you know, I think Geno becomes like the, like Alex Smith in Kansas City. I know that I've used that example with you in the past where, like, you feel comfortable with Geno as your starting quarterback. Is he going to be your starting quarterback forever? No. But he can help you get to the next one and you can win with him. And he's shown that already. You know, so I don't think Seattle's quite as awkward as, say, Green Bay or Vegas will be once the season ends.
We're talking to the Monday morning quarterback, Albert Breer. The Brady situation, it feels fluid that, you know, you can see the frustration. He probably realizes the ceiling is, you know, not that high. And if you could go someplace where you add water and stir, and he's that guy that you're stirring, the Raiders seems like a really interesting landing spot there. You see that as a real possibility?
Yeah, I think it's on the table. Like, I think I don't know if he's going to play next year, right? Like, so I don't think he knows if he's going to play next year. You know, obviously he's been through a lot personally in the last few months, and I think that's a factor when it comes to all of this. You know, his kids are getting older. But, you know, I do think that there's like an appreciation for some of the things that he had in New England. Now, you know, the way he was coached in New England, the way the operation ran in New England. And so I think if he's going to keep playing, it's going to be in a place where he doesn't need to run the whole thing. And I think there have been times in Tampa where he's felt like he was responsible for a lot of different things around him and keeping things straight. And, you know, even down to like the offseason program, the way they're in the offseason program the last few years, like post-COVID, was – the young players would come in and work with the coaches, and then Brady would take the vets and they would sort of work on their own offsite, you know? And so, like, I think going to a place where there's more structure and maybe he can just go and play would probably appeal to him. And I think, like, Vegas and San Francisco could offer those situations. Now, San Francisco's quarterback situation is obviously fluid, but they flirted with it before. They left the light on for him last year. I think they would consider it if Brady would consider them after this year. And then Vegas is obvious because there are pieces in place. I think Brady probably believes people would follow him there. And obviously there's a lot of, you know, carryover in what he did for 20 years in New England with what they're trying to build there.
Do we know the official reason why Bruce Arians is no longer the coach in Tampa?
I genuinely think he wanted to give Todd Bowles – like, I genuinely think that that was the biggest thing, okay, was he wanted to give Todd Bowles the chance to run the show. And he wanted to give Todd Bowles the chance to have a winning team. And he felt – and I think that there was a belief that the clock was sort of ticking on that group. And, you know, there was only – he wasn't going to get very many swings at handing this over to a guy that he loved in Todd. Were things perfect between he and Brady? No. There was definitely friction, you know, but – I think the bigger factor for Bruce was kind of like looking at it globally and saying, if I have my ring, it just sort of feels like time for me. And I want to do something for a guy that I think the world of. And he and Todd, I mean, BA is close to a lot of his coaches, but he and Todd are like, they're like family, you know? And so okay. I think that was maybe the biggest factor in walking away when he did.
Kyler Murray's injury have any impact on Lamar Jackson's contract?
It's an interesting question because it was such a freak injury. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that sort of could have happened to anybody. Like, that wasn't about Kyler Murray being an athletic quarterback who gets out on the edge and runs, right? Like, that was more, yeah, he was doing that when he got hurt. But, I mean, it could have happened anywhere on the field. So I don't know how much it factors into the way the Ravens approach Lamar because I think the Ravens are committed to paying Lamar. I think the question is and will continue to be, is Lamar willing to take a conventional quarterback contract, or does Lamar want to do something groundbreaking like what Deshaun Watson did with his contract? And that's sort of where the divide was, you know? And so, like, and they franchise him. I think that they try to get him done on a conventional quarterback contract. I think at the end in the summer sort of turned into a staring contest and who's going to blink first. And the Ravens have handled this very carefully because they know trust is such a big thing to Lamar and they wanted to handle everything with him man to man. And they didn't want any of the negotiation being held in the public forum. And I think they'll continue to handle it that way. I think they genuinely want to get Lamar done as much as anything else, Dan, because like if they're so built around him.
Yeah.
Like, what would they do if they didn't have him? You know what I mean? It's not like there's like an easy answer to replace Lamar Jackson when you built that way.
Cliff Kingsbury safe in Arizona?
Oh, I don't. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if it's totally out of the realm of possibility. There's like a mutual parting. It just feels to me like there's a lot going on there. And like, I think like the biggest thing that is standing in the way of everything is the contract. And things were so awkward there, Dan, at the end of the year. Like they canceled a number of personnel meetings that are like, these are like normal, like end of the year personnel meetings, like wrap up, talk about this player, that player, those normal like scouts and coaches go through the roster, evaluate everything. They canceled a couple of those abruptly. And after they got blown up by the Rams, that was on a Monday night. I think really through like Friday of that week, there were a lot of people in that building who were wondering if they were gonna get fired. So you went from that to like a month later, the GM and the coach have 5-year extensions mm-hmm. and are signed through 2027. And you've got an ownership group that isn't flush with cash, that generally hasn't liked to blow the whole thing up. If you look like when they fire people over the years, they've generally been half measures and doesn't like to eat contract. And there are 5 years left on the contracts of Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury. And so I think as much as I think that 100%, like everyone's job would be on the line there right now if those contracts hadn't been done. And then the question becomes, how do they get out of this? Does Cliff want to go forward, you know, with the team? Does you know, like how do they view Steve Kime? Like, there are so many unanswered questions that I think are going to demand some tough conversations over the next month in that building.
I'll try to phrase this correctly so you understand it, but who overplayed their hand more, the media covering Odell Beckham Jr. or Odell Beckham Jr.?
You mean like the proclamations that he's going to be ready in a, he's ready to roll and all of that?
Nobody asked the one question that drove me crazy, Albert, is when can you play?
Right. No, I mean, and look, like, I think, I mean, what he said turned some people off, like what he said on like Amazon, like I know that turned some people off, like, cause there was like a sort of a, like, and I think Odell did a lot to repair his reputation over the last year, but when you've got players who are fighting through things to get through December and like a guy just flat out says like I don't really see the point in playing in the regular season. There are some people that are wondering, and now this guy, and now he wants like another year on the contract. Like, you're going to have some pause there. So look, like he was not healthy last year. And I think there's a part of this that, you know, goes back to last year and the Rams trying to, when the Rams signed him, and I think I said this to you last week, like they when they signed him, it was like, we don't think, like, if we looked at like this physical and it was September, we wouldn't sign you because we wouldn't think you could make it to the end of the season. But because we're near the end of the season, we think we can get you to the finish line, and they almost got him there.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think, like, he's cognizant of the knee. I think he wants to go to a winning situation because he knows, and I've said this to you before too, like, he knows what playing for the Rams did for his image last year and did for the way people think of him last year. And yet, like, he comes out and he says this, and it's like, if you're one of these teams that's in it fighting for a championship, are you worried about what that might do to your to the mix of your team? And so, you know, I think, like, the Cowboys, the Bills, you see them make moves this week, and I think they've left the door open. But as we've sort of seen, the Chiefs go get Kadarius Toney before the trade deadline, and then the Bills sign Cole Beasley, and the Cowboys sign T.Y. Hilton. You see, like, this sort of implicit message coming from these teams that is, hey, we'll leave the door open, but I think we've learned that if we're bringing you in, we have to treat you like anything we get from you is a bonus. And that's why I think, like, the next few weeks, it's going to kind of come down to what Odell wants out of the rest of this year. And, you know, I like, look, we've all seen it. Sometimes people get hurt and there could be something happening that happens somewhere that opens the door and Odell gets everything he wants. But obviously these meetings, you know, I think indicated certain things to teams where they're being careful with them.
I want you on record. The Rams starting quarterback next year will be?
On record. I'm going to cautiously say Matthew Stafford, because I don't think he wants to go out like this, but I don't think it's a sure thing he's back. And I think Baker Mayfield would have a chance to be their starting quarterback, at least the bridge quarterback, if Matthew decides to move on. And I think, like, I think it's more than just one thing with Matthew. Like, it's how is the arm, you know, because they had to manage that during camp and everything else. And that's something that he's dealt with over the last 2 years. So it's the concussion thing. It's how's the arm. It's physically, where is he at? Because like I've said to you before, I don't think this is a guy who's hanging around until he's 43 years old. Like, I think when it's time, he's going to be ready to walk away. And maybe that time is a month from now. I'm just not certain on it, and I wouldn't want to predict that before you know that physically he feels like he can't go anymore.
I sounded like I was on 60 Minutes when I said to Albert, I want to get you on record. give me this on record here. Thanks for joining us as always, Albert.
All right, thanks, Dan.
That's the Monday Morning Quarterback, Albert Breer. Yeah, I sound like a real journalist there. I'm gonna ask the tough questions. I want you on record. I ordered a code red there. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app, by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Bob Ryan, longtime Boston Globe sports columnist and a contributor to Around the Horn, joins us on the program. Bob, thanks for joining us on short notice. What do you make of these new NBA awards?
Well, I guess it's all about the Bucks, and somebody's going to sponsor them, and that's fine. But they'll be... You're not going to please, you know this, Dan. You can't please them all. You can't please people. You can't get a unanimity of opinion about who's deserving of these awards. I am with you on the Kareem versus Michael thing. No slight to Michael. But when are they going to get around to paying homage to Kareem properly, I think?
Yeah.
So that would be good. But that's, you know, I have a nominee for the defensive award that, you know, people that, quite frankly, is a better technical nominee than a Hakeem Olajuwon. But I can understand why it would be a little bit of a hesitancy to name an award after Dennis Rodman. Who frankly is arguably the best all-around defender the game has ever known, and that, you know, he'd be able to guard anybody from point guards to centers and all that. There's been a few people like that, but he's the best of them all, I think. But he's Dennis Rodman. He's a character, to say the least. Well, that's interesting. I heard somebody yesterday on air complaining about the Havlicek name on the six-man award. And that one, of course, you know, I'll fight that one to the death. I'll fight that one. By the way, when John passed a couple years ago, he was, you know, always known as the great six man. And I said it was damning him with faint praise because even as early as his second year in the league, though he was, in fact, not starting games, he was second on that team in minutes played behind Bill Russell. And that remained the case for the whole time he was a six man. Anyway, it's you know what? We're talking about it. I think that's probably something they like, too.
Yeah, I agree with that. And some of these names, like George Mikan, okay, people, maybe they'll do some homework there with George Mikan. But most improved, he came in averaging, you know, 27 and 15 or something
ridiculous.
Like that.
He never had. No, absolutely no. That's preposterous. Now then again, who would we? I'd have to think now that this has been that you bring this up. I'll have to do some thinking. Who would be an appropriate person to name that award after? Who went the farthest? You know, from obscurity to stardom. I'll get back to you on that one, but I don't have it on the top of my head.
Well, I was thinking the Greek
wasn't George Mikan,
the Greek freak, Bob, but he's still playing.
Yeah, right. Well, okay, right. He did. What would the average as a rookie? Yeah, that's true. But there's the obviously Mikan is. It's just a name. It's nice to have George Mikan remembered, and he could the best nearsighted player of all time. That would be good, you know. he played with glasses his whole career. It was a pre-contact lens world that he lived in. So. Anyway,
why don't we honor Kareem, though, Bob? I know he missed out on social media. He was not lovable. He's the greatest college player of all time. He made it look maybe too easy, but, it just feels.
I don't know. And his post career, he has, become a distinguished person. We know he's an intellect. He's an author. He's taken up causes of Native American causes, for example. He's a person. He's a go-to person on any social commentary that of the time. And if you're going to start going in terms of all-time IQs in the league, he's going to be in the high in the list. And he never did anything to disgrace the game. He never did. He was never in the wrong part of the newspaper that I know of. He has the greatest signature shot in the history of basketball. The most famous weapon ever, singular weapon, is his hook shot.
Yeah. What do you think LeBron's reaction was when he learned that the MVP trophy was going to be named after Michael Jordan?
Oh, I'm sure there's an inherent, obviously there's an inherent competition there. He has a right to stick up for himself. I'm sure he was saying, hey, wait a minute. I'm done. But he's not going to catch Michael in total the MVPs. We know that. He's not going to do it. So if that's the criteria, he loses. But he is, I count me among those who, when we're talking about the two greatest individual all-around talents in the history of the game, and as opposed to centers, which is a whole other discussion, it's Michael LeBron, and I can make a case for either one.
Yeah, I'm just curious because there is that debate, or there's always been that debate, and if you're LeBron, you're like, wait a minute, my career's not over. I'm going to be the all-time leading scorer. I'm going to be up there in assist. I'm going to be up there with all-stars, longevity, all of those things. In totality, LeBron is going to have a better career than Michael Jordan.
Except that you and I, those of us who were around for Michael and have seen LeBron, let me tell you, here's the difference in the two and how they got to the pinnacle and in their respective eras. Michael ascended to the NBA mountaintop when he finally learned how to share. And he was the 1987 Michael wasn't making that pass to Steve Kerr. He wasn't making that pass to John Paxson. The 1991 Michael would do those things, and that got him rings. So he could have had rings earlier. I will argue that. LeBron didn't ascend to the mountaintop until he recognized the responsibility of being the best player on the floor and acting accordingly. He bombed out against the Mavericks. He did not want the ball. I resisted that, but it's true. I saw him quit against the Celtics in 2010. So what I'm getting at, if you're in the foxhole, the guy you want is Michael. Michael is the greatest competitor, and the closest thing to him, 1A to him, is Kobe. And LeBron does not enter into that discussion the way with those other two. Sorry, LeBron, that's the fact.
I've been watching the Shaq documentary, and I remember at the time when they broke up that we would remember what they could have been, not what they did. It's the three-peat is one thing. I mean, it's really, I look back on what could have been, not what was. What do you take away from that?
Well, at the time I sided, when it was going on and it was the triangle was Kobe, LeBron it's Kobe, Shaq, and Phil. That was the actual triangle that mattered at that point, not Tex Winter's offense. And I sided with Shaq in that regard. And at that time, we'll never know. Obviously, they should have stayed together. But they're not the only circumstance of that nature we could cite in any sport. But that certainly is one that was true. My only has my only yeah but on LeBron, on Shaq, and ranking him in the hierarchy of all the all-time players, is simply he should have been a better rebounder. I think it's preposterous that that man did not lead the league in rebounds even once. And rebounding is the number one rule of rebounding is you want the damn ball or don't you? And you start with that. And he was a somewhat indifferent rebounder for far too long in his career.
Yeah, that's interesting. But why did the Celtics work when you had Bird and McHale and Parrish and DJ and Ainge? That did jealousy, was jealousy ever part of the equation there?
No, I know. I mean, the thing is that the Lakers were concurrently great at the same time. And the Lakers had the upper hand. They won two out of three times they played in the 80s against them, fair and square. So, you know, the Celtics accomplished what they should have, I think, with that group. Maybe, there's no excuses for 85. There is a yeah, but in 87, they were battered. McHale was playing with a bad foot, and then they were, their bench was stripped, and they were nowhere near as good as the Lakers. That they took them to six was a miracle. So that was that. But I don't know where the Celtics, that group. No, there were mutual admiration. There was, to my knowledge, there was no friction of any substance of any kind with that group.
I enjoyed watching the 20th anniversary around the horn last night, Bob. I know you were there for the maiden voyage.
Day one.
Yeah, who would have thought 20 years later?
Well, you know TV. I mean, it's a remarkable. But what's interesting about this whole scenario is that you can't discuss around the horn without discussing PTI. Around the horn is a spinoff. It is the most successful spinoff probably in American TV sports history, and Bubba the only one that has really, you know, PTI came on the air in November of 2001. I remember in January of 2002 watching a game on TV from University of Arkansas, and someone was holding up one of those face figures, you know, of either Tony or Mike in the stands.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, my God, something's going on out there. You know, this is interesting. And it turned out the college audiences were a real staple audience. I have been all the time for both shows. But that show caught on, and only because it caught on that was there, you know, agitation or in business there to try and build off it. And you know, as you know, there the genius, the one name that didn't get mentioned, I don't believe last night, was the guiding genius behind both shows, and that's Eric Rideholm, who created all the games and all the formats for both shows, and without whose genius the shows wouldn't be what they are. But ultimately, we owe our existence on Around the Horn to the personalities of Tony and Mike, who made that show popular and made it possible for us to have a show. And so it starts with them. And then secondly, what Tony Reale has done as a host. Dan, it's the hardest hosting job, I think, in the history of TV. Think about it. You've got the normal hosting duties of banter and having the producer and the director in your ear, which obviously people at home never think about. Then you've got to listen to these commentaries, these things. You're playing off it. You're ad-libbing. And you're keeping score with these levers all at once. That's juggling a lot. And he makes it seem like it's the easiest damn job in the world. And you know it is not. And all hosting jobs I had total respect for, but that one above all. And Tony has been, you know, just grown up in our eyes. As he pointed out last night, he was 25 when it started. And, you know, he was not intending to be a personality. He was a researcher. He was going to be a behind-the-scenes guy. And he showed up on PTI at the 11th hour as the information guy, or the guy. And then he became transitioned into the show. And here we are 20 years later. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Great to talk to you, Bob. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
That's Bob Ryan, longtime Boston Globe sports columnist. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Marcellus Wiley, part of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network, a weekly show, unique journey around the sports, entertainment, cultural landscape. It's called More to It with Marcellus Wiley. You can listen wherever you get your podcast. This week, Marcellus talks about Brittany Griner, Andrew Luck, and why Deion Sanders did not buy into the BS. Marcellus also had this to say about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You know what's crazy about this? This is exactly what the Bucs signed up for. Mm-hmm. They signed up for this. When Tom Brady misses 11 days of training camp, when Leonard Fournette becomes 5-net, 6-net, just big, and then, oh, I ain't that big, oh, I weigh the same. You try to run that game on people, like, the scale says the same, but let's just say my pants don't fit the same.
The Buccaneers play the Bengals coming up this weekend. You think this is it for Tom Brady?
I don't think this is it, just because Tom Brady can't let this be his last hurrah in the NFL with that greatness, that resume, the dynasty, the dynasties he was able to create. You can't end on this note. And I don't think it's just by record or the fact that they may make the playoffs, they won't be a Super Bowl champion team. I think it's the fact that Tom Brady knows that he wasn't all in this year. I think that he doesn't want his resume, his legacy to say, I wasn't as committed at the end as I was throughout my duration of my career. So this is Tom Brady saying, I have to go out there and play my best. And playing my best means full commitment. This year, we haven't seen that.
And, okay, you got a divorce. You get your family situated. Then maybe that can help him if he wants to play one more year. And I still look at Las Vegas. Josh McDaniels. You got Devontae, you got Josh Jacobs, you got defensive, you know, some impact players there. I know it's a tough division, but if you – well, do you see a different scenario for Tom?
Well, it looks like Josh is going to survive this year despite the ups and downs with this team. But more importantly, I don't know if Tom Brady is in position to map on to a team to win a Super Bowl. I think you got to be a little more selfish in this moment and think about your legacy. Think about what you want out of the situation. Obviously, that's the ultimate prize, but that's an almost impossible calculation to make. A team that looks ready-made on paper typically is not the team that's going to win the Super Bowl. The intangibles kick in. So if I'm Tom Brady, as much as the narrative is everywhere he goes, he wins and wins a Super Bowl. The reality is you just don't want to go out on a sour note or a note that is not as committed.
We saw Brady throw a couple of interceptions against the Niners. Dre Greenlaw got one of those. And here's Tom Brady talking about the defensive player for the Niners asking for an autograph.
It was for me, to be honest. It was complete but I try to be a gentleman. No, it was actually, look, it was a great play he made. I'm happy he's got the ball. I wish I didn't throw it, but I'm trying to be a good sport because a lot of times I'm not a good sport. I could be a pretty bad sport. And so in the moment when they get me in the right frame of mind, I'm actually a good sport.
All right. In your third year, I think you sacked Brett Favre. Fourth year, you got Tom Brady. Let's stay with Brett Favre. Third year player. You sack him. Let's say at the end of the game, you want to get an autograph, football, jersey, something. Did you ever do that? Did you ever ask for an autograph from somebody that you defeated?
No, I never did it just because I didn't think it was the time or the place. We know football is more than just tackling and running around. It's also the mentality. They're always your opponent until there's the offseason or they're your teammate, right? So I never bought into that. Obviously, you're a gentleman, handshake, how's the family, respect. But I will give you one where I was a fan, man. Grew up a John Elway fan to the fullest. Eric Dickerson and John Elway motivated me to play football. And my first game ever in the NFL preseason was in Denver against John Elway. And I just remember looking at him 5 feet away around the 50-yard line in warmups. I'm like, that's not the seven that's at Foot Locker. That's actually John Elway right there. And that was as close as I got to a fan, man, and also as close as I got to sacking him that day because I didn't do a damn thing.
What do you think of what Dre Greenlaw did asking Brady?
It's a different world. These guys are so immersed in like social media, clicks. Everything is just something that they can take viral. And everything now is so personalized. Like I see guys walking from their car to the locker room, and that's a montage video during commercial breaks in the stadium. I'm like, everything they do is a movie. So, yeah, they're actors now. They're not even just like hardcore primal Neanderthal football players. They're like in some kind of like third dimensional movie. So, yeah, the rules are gone. The way I lived, you have to get off the lawn. Now they all share the same space.
He's Marcellus Wiley, the former All-Pro defensive end and host of the podcast More To It. Dan Patrick Podcast Network. On the podcast, you talked about Deion Sanders not buying into the BS. What BS?
The BS is that Deion Sanders has to do something for others before himself. The BS is that Deion Sanders has to handcuff him to a situation that is lesser for him just because it's for the culture. When the culture should be for Deion Sanders and promoting his growth to the greatest limit it can go. So the BS is something that I think we all have faced in certain facets of our life when maybe it's your surroundings, maybe it's your friend group, when you try to do more. It's, you remember growing up and you just tell your friends, oh man, I'll see y'all later. Where you going? I'm going to study. We got a test tomorrow. Oh man. And it was just to improve yourself, but they literally are trying to sway you because they want you to be bigger for the group than for yourself. So I'm glad Deion Sanders, who I had full confidence in, that this was a stepping stone. Jackson State was a stepping stone to the next, as Colorado will be a stepping stone in success to the next. So I'm just glad he didn't buy into the BS narrative.
Could Brock Purdy be an upgraded quarterback for the Niners?
Yes.
Is he an upgrade?
Not yet. I tell you why. The yes is the talent. The yes is the measurables. The yes is the fact that they believe in him. I'm not sold yet because it's one thing to wake up Oh, let's start here. It's one thing to get thrown into a game, adrenaline rush, and you're just like, oh, okay, I'm going to just play off instinct. It's another thing to wake up and you're like, okay, I'm the starter going forward. And it's another thing when they hang those Super Bowl expectations on you and it's playoff time and everyone is not just saying, oh, you did well as a fill-in. No, we're counting on you. So last week was a fill-in responsibility. Now it's going to get in success to where we're counting on you. And so far under Shanahan, only Jimmy G has been the one who has raised his hand and stood tall in those moments. Every other quarterback, look at Shanahan's record with every other quarterback. They faltered in those situations.
Were you ever on a team where the backup was better than the starter at quarterback?
Yeah. This is going to hurt because I still see Rob Johnson every now and then. But Doug Flutie was better than Rob Johnson. We had that quarterback civil war in Buffalo. Woo, you talking about Crips and Bloods. You talking about dissension. You talking about banging in the locker room. The owner was against Wade Phillips, the head coach. Half the offense was split. Defense was sold on Doug Flutie. And all this time, we couldn't say anything to the media or in public. We just had to say mum's the word. But in reality, we were all sold on Doug Flutie because we had more success. And when he got his opportunity, he showed why we believed in him. But yeah, that was crazy when you got a guy out there and you're like, we got a better one on the bench, coach. Get with the program.
Yeah, if Flutie was around now, then he could make an impact, right? This would be better, this system, this scenario, because now we don't go, oh, well, he's only 5'9 or 5'10. No, he was, Flutie was a great player. He was just too soon. He was before his time.
Oh, yeah, he would have been Kyler Murray, maybe Kyler Murray plus in some situations, because Doug Flutie could play the game. He just was stereotyped. He was just looked at, and they just said, we're going to box you in as a guy who can't throw between the tackles and only can run outside to find vision and space. But Doug Flutie, one of the greatest athletes I've ever been around, and I'm talking about all sports, all things. Doug Flutie was a special player, but just wasn't given great opportunities. So he always went to the plate, and there were two strikes before he took his first swing. And that's why he didn't get all the flowers he deserved.
And she'll like it too.
Yeah, he was a beast, man. Talk about Flutie. I love Flutie Flakes, man. He was a beast.
When you have a concussion, do you know you have a concussion?
When I played, we never said we had concussions. My first concussion happened when I was 8 years old in a swimming pool, dove in 3 feet, dumb. My second concussion was falling off a swing, got pushed out of the swing by some gangsters. They're dumb. In the NFL, I didn't have any concussions. We said, you got your bell rung. And we didn't even term it a concussion. So I know that I've blacked out before, which I know now is I had a concussion. But all through my 10 years of playing in the NFL, not one time did anyone ever walk up to me. And as I can remember, any of my teammates say, oh, you have a concussion. We know guys got knocked out. It's just the terminology was different.
But what happened with the Patriots on Monday night?
It's interesting when you see – like the players now, there's so many conflicting interests, right? You have the interest of the player who doesn't want to acknowledge the concussion for obvious reasons, playing time, money, and opportunity. It's the independent doctor who is trying to tell you from the outside what you are feeling on the inside. It's the team that is obviously wink, wink for the player, but really for the player playing. And all those things are just conflating and conflicting at one time. So it's a crazy situation to always look at.
Yeah, but you're supposed to have an independent spotter, correct?
Yeah.
But he had to be watching another game because you have somebody down, who is it, Jacoby Myers or Devontae Parker. He's down and they help him up. And then all of a sudden you're like, he shouldn't be out on the field. But they missed it. Now, if it's a quarterback, we're going to err to the side of caution. And in that situation, they didn't. His teammate had to call timeout.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, because one, there was no other game to watch. So, you know, he was just caught up in the sauce, right? And more than that, when you're in that position, obviously you need someone to save you from yourself, right? It's why a boxer has a corner man, is to protect you when you can't go out there and when you shouldn't be out there. And in that situation, they missed it, because that just shows you that the real motivation is not just players' health. It's the bottom line. It's the dollars. Like, we need them out there. Like, you should err on the side of caution so much that that can never happen. Yeah. But it does happen. It happened with Tua, et cetera. It happens because their heart's not in saving the players fully. And, you know, when you talk big business, you can understand why in that respect. But when you're talking about player safety in one breath, it doesn't make sense.
Always great to talk to you. Thank you, Marcellus.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
Marcellus Wiley. The podcast is More To It. And a great reaction to his opinions. Not afraid to talk about sensitive topics. He'll go where most don't go. More To It with Marcellus Wiley, wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.